as you turn into Ephesians chapter 3, I want to preach a little while on this thought. God did what he does. God, and Sharon didn't know what I was going to preach. She sung that song, God is God, all is well. Amen. I'm just glad that God still does what he does. Amen. Amen. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, when you get there, let's stand in honor of God's word. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
If you ain't there, say hold on, preacher. As long as I hear pages turning, I'll wait. Like I said the other day, now if you're in the Old Testament, you're way off. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. God, we love you. We come to you in Jesus' name. Thank you for the reading of your word. Thank you, God, for the service this morning, Lord. Thank you, God, for what you're doing in our church, God. It's a blessing, Lord, just to be able to come and feel your presence, God. God, thank you for souls being saved over the last several weeks and months, Lord. And thank you for what you're doing. Lord, I pray, God, you just continue to work and you bless this service right now. God, you speak to hearts and whatever's done, we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. You ever had something happen in your life and you come through it and you look back and you just think, wow, I'm glad God does what he does.
Amen.
Amen. I thought about it as I was looking back over this today. Sister Becky just a couple weeks ago stood up testifying how God does what he does. Amen. And I can go through my life. You can go through your life. I'll never forget Sister Wanda standing up testifying about when Ashley was in that wreck, how God does what he does. Amen. We got to understand something. It ain't about us.
Amen.
It ain't about how good we are. It's all about how good he is. Amen. He's a good God, not because we earned it, not because we deserve it, not because anything like that, but it's just that God does what he does. I want you to just think about just a few things tonight, and then I'll try to be brief. God saves because he's the Savior.
Amen.
Amen. That's why he saved. John chapter 3, verse 16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Amen. So God saves because he's the Savior. He's still in the saving business. Amen. Hey, we had somebody saved this morning. Thank God. Over the last several weeks and months, we've had people saved almost every week in this church. I don't know if I've ever been associated, and we've had some great times in the 25 years I've been here. I don't know if I've ever been associated with a church where it's almost like every service you come in, Brother Tony, and it's a revival type service. I'm going to pick on Brother Robert. Last week, Brother Robert said, hey, I'm singing two songs. God said, oh, no, you ain't, amen. You're going to sing as many as I want you to sing because I'm going to just keep sending people to that altar, amen. So we got to, I thank God that we can come in. And God, when you got services like that, you'll see people get under the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. You'll see people get under the convicting power. Hey, God's the only one that can save, amen. So I'm glad God still does what he does. There's no name given under heaven whereby a man must be saved. Jesus Christ, amen. So God does what he does. Hey, God heals because he's the great physician. God can take care of our physical bodies. I ain't got time to go through this building. And just by show of hands, how many has ever had God answer a prayer for you and healed your body when the doctor said it was one way and God said, no, we're going to go another way, amen. I thank God that, hey, he is the great physician. He does what he does. He touched my body. He's touched Robert. He's touched Taylor. He's touched every last one of us. Aren't you glad God still does what he does?
Amen.
Emotional stuff. God can take care of that. Spiritual stuff. God can take care of that. He can do it all. I think about the woman with the issue of blood. For 12 long years, she had suffered. For 12 long years, she had battled with the same thing over and over and over and almost to the point of death. And when she finally got to Jesus, glory to God, Jesus just went ahead and did what he does. How many times has he been there for you? How many times has he showed up for you? I picked on Ben a little bit this morning. I'll pick on Ben a little bit more. Ben keeps coming without that cane. I'm going to pick on him every time I see him. Amen. That's God doing what he does. That's God doing what he does. My mama was in the hospital for 17 days. Didn't know what in the world was wrong with her. Hey, and I thank God for doctors. Thank God for one doctor come in and said, Miss Larimore, they've run 98 tests on you and still can't figure it out. And the church praying and God showed up. And God does what he does. Thank God for healing, amen. How many of us have still felt, I believe there's somebody here tonight. Maybe you need to feel that healing touch. Maybe you need something tonight. I'm just telling you, it might be a sunny night. It might be dark outside. We might not have quite as many people here tonight as we had this morning. But the Bible says where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I'll be in the midst. I'm telling you right now, I told them this morning, the same God that was here this morning is going to be here tonight, amen. And guess what? He's here. And he's the great physician. God provides because he's Jehovah Jireh. The Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 22, verse 14, this is where this is first mentioned. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. We all know the story in Genesis chapter 22 where Abraham's getting ready to offer Isaac. He takes Isaac up that hill. He ties Isaac up. He puts Isaac on that altar. And he is getting ready to draw the knife and getting ready to plunge it into his only son. But God showed up, amen. God provided. And that word right there, when you break it down, it basically means that Jehovah or God will see to it. Amen. Whatever your need is. Sherry was singing a song. All is well. God is able. What is the need that you got tonight? Why do we go through things that we go through and we sometimes we'll pray for this need and we'll pray for that need but when something bad happens, I just don't know if God can take care of this. I've told you this many times before. If I'm going to trust him, Brother Tony, with my soul, amen, then I'm going to trust him with everything. I'm going to trust him with my bank account. I'm going to trust him with my health. I'm going to trust him with everything. I was talking to somebody this past week. They said, you 61 years old and you don't take no medicine. I said, no, ma'am, and I ain't going to take none either. Amen. Not that I'm super spiritual. I'm just saying, I believe if you can get by without it, amen. Amen. Pray about it. When the need seems too big, God does what he does. I thought about the woman with the barrel of meal and the oil. She was running out. She said, the Bible says she was gathering up sticks. She was going to make one little cake of bread. She said, and I'm going to feed me and my son, and we're going to die. Yep. That's what the Bible says. They were going to make one cake of bread, and that's what she said. She said, I'm going to make a cake of bread, and we're going to die. It don't get no worse than that. Elijah said, hey, make that cake of bread, but give me some. And she did. And you know what happened? The oil didn't quit and the meal didn't run out. Because God will see to it, amen. You got to understand something. I was thinking about this as I was studying on this. The three Hebrew boys, hey, they were standing there. They wouldn't bow. They wouldn't bend. They stood for what was right, amen, and they were thrown into the fire. But guess what? God provided. The Bible says that Jesus Christ himself showed up in the fire, amen, and that's what I'm talking about. God still does what he does. As I was thinking on this and studying on this week, I got to thinking about things in my life. And most of y'all have heard me tell my testimony about when I got shot in 87. I got in a big shootout in 88. And, I can tell you this, but you've heard it before. But I'm going to go back to one thing that I really thought about. One night I got a call. And I was going down the road in that patrol car. It was about 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning. I was on number 9 coming out of Loris going back toward Marion or Mullins. It went from 4-lane to 2-lane. Hadn't been long, got in a wreck, and that's a whole nother testimony. When I got in a wreck and I was driving a spare car. Now, some of y'all younger folks ain't going to have no idea what I'm talking about because they don't make cars like this no more. This was the old kind of car, Mike. You know what I'm talking about. The kind we had to reach over and pull something out for the headlight to come on. Some of y'all say amen. Some of y'all looking at me like a deer in the headlights. You ain't got a clue what I'm talking about, because ever since you've been driving, you just get in there and the lights automatically come on. It was a 1987 Crown Victoria. Going down the road, I was going to a rec, Taylor, and I got sleepy. I got tired. Midnight shift, 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning. And I felt myself getting drowsy, and I felt myself kind of going out a little bit. And I remember going across the center line a couple times, and it was a two-lane road at that point. And all of a sudden, the headlights on that car went out. And I woke up. I don't know about y'all, but that woke me up. I woke up. I reached over to grab that switch and took Brother Tony to move that switch to see if there was a short. And before I could touch that switch to turn them headlights on and off, the headlights came back on. I said, "Ooh, thank you, Lord." Go a few more miles. I got tired again, Kevin. I could feel myself getting tired. I could feel myself getting drowsy. I could feel the car start to wave a little bit. All of a sudden, them headlights went out again. I reached over. I got to be a short in my mind, Brother Ralph. Got to be a short. I reached over for that switch. Before I could touch that switch, the headlights came back on.
Come on.
I thought, wow. I got tired again. The same thing happened again. And that time when I reached for those headlights and those headlights came on, it's almost like I heard a voice say, "All right, I've woke you up three times. It's time to wake up." I never got sleepy again. Those lights never did that again. That car never gave me any trouble after that. I'm just telling you, God will see to it. Amen. I don't care what you're going through. I got a God that can take care of it. Amen. I remember a story. One of a missionary that stood in our pulpit. He was down in the Amazon, and they had called for this village, and they were going to feed the people. He said they had made so much for about 100 people. He said all of a sudden people started coming from everywhere. It's kind of what I think Chucky thought the chicken was doing yesterday. He said, he told them, he said, "Pray over it. Don't look in the pot. Just keep serving." Amen. He said, "We made enough for about 100 people. He said, it was all said and done. Between 300 and 500 people ate, and they ate all they wanted. You say, "Well, preacher, I believe that Jesus fed the 5,000. Well, glory to God, I believe he can feed 500 down in the Amazon. Amen. My God will see to it. He does what he does. Amen. God protects because he's our refuge. The Bible says in Psalms 91 verse 1 and 2, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God. In him will I trust." Psalms 142 verse 5, "I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living." We may walk through some fires, but praise God, the Bible says we shall not be consumed. What have you been through that should have killed you? Think about that. What have you been through that should have killed you? Larry's sitting on the front seat. I'm going to pick on him. Y'all going to realize you sit up close, I'll pick on you. And if I get to preaching real good, Kevin, I'll be back in the back of the church with you too. Amen. Larry was going down Highway 145, wasn't it? Driving that truck. It'd been raining. Fully loaded 18-wheeler. Come up on it, and the bridge gave out. Larry didn't know, next thing Larry knew, water was running through the cab, running over the top of the cab. How do you survive something like that? Because you got somebody riding in the truck with you. How do you survive getting shot? Because you got somebody right there with you. How do you survive getting in a shootout? Because you got somebody right there with you. Amen. God is my refuge. God is my portion. God will be there. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, when you went through the red light, it wasn't your good driving that saved you. Amen. When you went through those close calls, it wasn't your ingenuity that saved you. There was angels right there with you. Amen. There was angels watching over you. There was angels that had their hand on you. There's a mighty God in heaven that said, "I'll be your refuge. I'll be there for you. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you." I'm reminded of, like I said, I've told this before, I'm reminded, and I had read stories about this my whole life. Then my brother called me sometime last year, I believe it was last year. He said, "Guess what?" I said, "What?" He said, "Let me tell you what happened. My brother was following this car right there close to the fire department where I grew up. He said he saw this car veer off and hit a tree. He said, I was right behind it. He said, when the car hit the tree, the car burst into flames. He said, immediately I called. His son was home. His son jumped, 10 seconds from the fire department. His son jumped in the fire truck and come down there. Within less than a minute, my brother was on the scene, my nephew was on the scene, and the fire truck was on the scene. They were running around that car. The car's on fire. The mom and the dad was in the front seat. They couldn't get the car opened up. He said, all of a sudden, he said, out of the side, he saw this little boy run across the road. About that time, some other EMTs and some other people had got there on the other side of the road, and they had the little boy. They got the little boy, and they tended to him, and they sent him to the hospital in Florence. The mom and dad didn't make it. The little boy actually went to school where my sister-in-law is the principal. She knew the little fella. He couldn't speak English. So they sent a translator to the Florence Hospital. And when they got there, they basically was asking him, do you remember what happened? He said, not really. He said, only thing he really remembered was that guy wearing a white suit that got him out the back seat of the car. When word got back to my brother said, I was the first one there. My son was the next one there. He said there was nobody on the scene at no time wearing a white suit. What happened, preacher? I'm telling you what happened. My God is my refuge. Amen. And when I need him, I don't care what's going on. I got a God in heaven that can dispatch angels. I'm telling you right now, David was talking about Gabriel this morning. God ain't got to send Gabriel to watch out for me. Just one of them little peon angels over the backside of heaven. He can take care of me just fine. But my God is a refuge. My God will be there. My God will watch out for us. Because that's what he does. Amen. Sometimes protection ain't removal from the storm. His protection in the storm. God didn't reach down and take Paul off that boat when the storm was coming. But God was there with him on that boat, amen. God restores because he's our redeemer. The enemy tries to destroy, but God can reveal. We know the story of Job, how Job was a perfect and upright man. The Bible says Job was rich beyond measure. Job had a great family beyond measure, and Job had great wealth and beyond measure. And just because of a conflict between God and Satan, Job got under the microscope, and Job lost everything that he had. Wonder how many times the Bible talks about how Job sat down in the ashes and took the potsherd and scraped his sores and the boils all over. Wonder how many times Job thought, I'll never be back to what I was. Wonder how many times Job thought, my family's gone, everything's gone, I ain't got nothing to live for. But if you study the book, you study the story, chapter 42 finally came. And Job realized that our God restores. And the Bible said God gave him twice as much as he had before, amen. That's what my God can do, amen. You got to. I read a story one time, and I remember an old preacher saying something about this years ago in a sermon. He said an alcoholic got saved, and an alcoholic was asked, how can you possibly believe in the nonsense that the Bible about those miracles said? You don't believe Jesus actually changed the water into wine, do you? The alcoholic said, oh, yeah, I believe Jesus changed the water into wine because at my house, he changed the whiskey into furniture. And he changed the liquor and the food. And he changed all that kind of stuff, all that nonsense into my family coming back. Amen. My God restores. He'll restore your health if you let him. Our God guides because he's our shepherd. 23rd Psalm tells us that. He leads us where we need to go. You hear what I'm saying? He leads us where not where you want to go. But I'm just going to go ahead and tell you. Y'all, most of y'all are just like me. See, I'll put it on me. Most of y'all are just like me. I'm too dumb, Brother Ralph, to know where I need to go. I want to go here and yonder. I want to do this and I want to do that. God said, no, I'm going to lead you where you need to go. That's what a shepherd does. See, if you study the Bible, and I'm not trying to pick on nobody. If you study the Bible, we've realized and we understand that sheep are not very smart. They're meek and they're humble, but they ain't very smart. And I have figured out in the 40-some years I've been saved, Christians ain't very smart sometimes. I didn't get a hearty amen out of that one. But God knows what we need. And I'm glad he knows what we need. Amen. God loves because God is love. Listen, God does what he does. And he loves because God is love. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 8, verse 39, 38 and 39, "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." The most famous, probably, parable in the Bible is the parable of the prodigal son. Just about everybody knows it. I was told some of them in Sunday school this morning. I was watching some stuff on YouTube this morning while Juwan was getting ready. And for somehow or another, I don't know how it comes, Alice Cooper came up. How many of y'all know who Alice Cooper is? All y'all old people, get your hand up. You know who Alice Cooper was? Ain't got a clue. Ain't got a clue. I'm just telling you. Ain't got a clue. Alice Cooper was probably one of the first, how would you say it, hard rockers that was off into what we would call, what we all thought was Satanism and stuff like that. Alice Cooper was bad. But in his testimony, I was listening to it today, he said his granddaddy was an evangelist to the Sioux Indians for almost 70 years. He said his daddy was a pastor to the Apache Indians in Arizona for over 40 years. He said, "I grew up in church. I knew church." He said, I was the prodigal son. He said, "I got as far out as I could possibly go." He said, "And God got my attention and brought him back." And I told somebody in Sunday school this morning, you know, if we're not careful, we're quick to judge people. We're quick to look at somebody and say, "Well, that's not a Christian." Since when was it your standard to make somebody a Christian? I'm glad God still does what he does. Amen. I'm still glad God saves who he wants to save. I'm glad he don't have to call. Gavin, I'm glad God don't call me on the phone and say, "Who you think we need to save this morning?" Amen. My job is to stand up and preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke with all long suffering. My job is to put it out there. And it's God's job to do the rest. Amen. It's your job to put it out there. It's your job to tell people about Jesus. It's your job. And it don't matter if they got long hair. It don't matter if they got tattoos. It don't matter what kind of clothes they're wearing. It's our job to put it out there and let God do what he does. I remember when I was in Orangeburg. Now, see, I grew up in a very conservative, legalistic church. When I say conservative and legalistic, I mean legalistic. Okay? You weren't supposed to wear shorts. I'm just being honest, okay? You don't dare go to the movies. You know, you ain't supposed to eat out on Sundays. I'm just telling you, this is the church that I was raised. And I get to Orangeburg and I figure out, that ain't got nothing to do with being saved. Ain't none of that got nothing to do with being saved. I believe when you get saved, you ought to straighten up. Amen. I believe when you get saved, you ought to look like a Christian. You ought to walk like a Christian. You ought to talk like a Christian. Amen. I believe that. But Preacher Earl had a man come visit him one day. And this guy come in, and I'm trying to look around. He was clean cut, like Taylor. I mean, clean cut. Nice looking man. I mean, clean cut, you know, clean shaven. I mean, just neat looking. Preacher Earl said, kind of laughed. He said, He ain't always looked like that. I said, what you mean? He said, you ought to seen him when he first started coming to church. He pulled out his old driver's license and showed him, that joker looked like Charles Manson. I'm telling you right now, son, long stringy hair. I mean, a beard just all, I mean, he just looked, for lack of a better word, scraggly. Preacher Earl said he went down to the altar that morning, got saved. Preacher Earl said, I got to church early that afternoon. He said, I was walking around shaking hands. He said, this guy come in. He said, I walked up to the guy. I said, how you doing? My name's Earl Hannah. He said, I know who you are. He said, I ain't never met you in my life. He said, preacher, I got saved this morning. That joker went home and cleaned up. Amen. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, hey, God does what he does. It's our job to put it out there. It's our job to lead them to the Lord. Amen. And let God take care of the rest of it. I'm still glad God does what he does. Amen. Amen. I want you to bow your heads.